Imagine standing at the peak of your career, your face on book covers, your name in headlines, only to find yourself miserable, stressed, and watching your relationships crumble. This was Ryan Holiday's reality at just 25 years old, and it revealed a paradoxical truth. The very force that drives us to achieve often becomes the primary obstacle to our continued success. Our ego, that unhealthy belief in our own importance, acts like an invisible cancer, separating us from reality and corrupting our ability to learn, grow, and maintain perspective. In a culture that celebrates self-promotion above all else, we've created what Holiday calls an epidemic of ego, where the appearance of success often outweighs actual achievement. We announce our goals to thousands before taking a single step, mistake validation for accomplishment, and proudly declare ourselves CEO of ventures that barely exist. Have you ever noticed how the people who talk most about their ambitions often accomplish the least? This isn't coincidence. It's science. Research shows that talking about goals creates a premature sense of completion that actually reduces our motivation to achieve them. When writer Emily Gold received a substantial book advance, she spent a year building her brand online instead of writing her contracted novel. The energy that should have gone into creation was depleted through constant verbalization. The correlation between talk and action is inversely related. One kills the other. Consider the contrasting approach of figures like Bo Jackson, who rarely gave interviews about his training regimen or future plans, instead letting his unprecedented achievements in both baseball and football speak for themselves. The alternative isn't weakness or lack of ambition, but rather confident humility, the paradoxical quality that allows us to believe in our capacity while remaining grounded in reality. Our culture celebrates passion, but passion without boundaries leads to burnout. Purpose, passion with direction and constraints, serves us better. Compare the impractical segue with Eleanor Roosevelt's methodical policy work spanning decades. Purpose helps answer strategist John Boyd's question, to be or to do. When your purpose exceeds yourself, choices become both easier as distractions fall away and harder as everything must align with your purpose. Early in our careers, we face a choice: resent our subordinate position or use it for growth. The Roman concept of the antiambulo, one who clears the path, offers a model for success. Rather than viewing entry-level positions as beneath us, we can embrace the apprentice model that developed geniuses from Michelangelo to Franklin. The canvas strategy means providing support so others can succeed. Bill Belichick volunteered to analyze film without pay, thriving on grunt work others avoided, eventually becoming one of the NFL's most successful coaches. Benjamin Franklin wrote anonymous letters for his brother's newspaper, developing skills while serving another's goals. This approach isn't about being a doormat, but making a strategic investment in relationships and personal development. Jackie Robinson's journey to becoming the first black player in Major League Baseball reveals a counterintuitive truth. Sometimes the greatest strength lies in strategic restraint. Branch Rickey of the Brooklyn Dodgers sought a player with the guts not to fight back. Despite facing coordinated abuse, being hit by pitches, cleated, and subjected to racial slurs, Robinson honored his agreement to suppress his natural reactions, even posing for a friendly photo with the Phillies manager who had verbally abused him for 3 straight games. This restraint wasn't weakness, but strategic strength. Holiday argues that our paths are defined by the amount of nonsense we are willing to deal with, which ego makes impossible. Those who have subdued their ego understand that it doesn't degrade you when others treat you poorly, it degrades them. Only after establishing himself as Rookie of the Year and MVP did Robinson begin to more assertively stand his ground. By controlling his reactions, Robinson changed baseball and American society forever. When poet Stephane Mallarmé told painter Edgar Degas, "It's not with ideas that one makes verse, it's with words," he highlighted the distinction between professionals and dilettantes. True mastery demands endless hours of practice, not until you make it, but forever. The ego prefers recognition for planning rather than doing, yet accomplishment comes from where we direct our energy. Bill Clinton meticulously building his network, Darwin laboring for decades on evolution. As basketball player Bill Bradley reminded himself, when you are not practicing, remember, someone somewhere is practicing, and when you meet him, he will win. This mindset drove Bradley to practice shooting in darkness, developing muscle memory that served his entire career. Similarly, Kirk Hammett, upon joining Metallica at their breakthrough, immediately sought guitar teacher Joe Satriani to improve his fundamentals. For 2 years, Hammett endured rigorous weekly lessons, accepting harsh feedback that drove others away. Work isn't glamorous. It's pushing through pain, bad drafts, and focusing on improvement while ignoring both criticism and praise. Despite drafting Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history, the New England Patriots focused not on celebrating, but on their intelligence failure that almost prevented his selection. Their director of personnel kept a photo of a failed pick as a reminder, "You're not as good as you think." This exemplifies how great people measure themselves against their own high standards rather than society's definition of success. Warren Buffett calls this the inner scorecard, your own standards, versus the outer scorecard, others' opinions. Your potential should be your metric. An inner scorecard provides moral clarity, not just validation. When you judge yourself by internal standards rather than what you can get away with, you become less selfish. Someone with an inner scorecard doesn't crave the spotlight, doesn't collapse during setbacks, and shares credit generously. We improve through discipline and higher standards, not self-congratulation. Malcolm X demonstrated this principle by transforming his prison sentence into an opportunity, choosing what Robert Greene calls a live time over dead time, using every moment to improve rather than simply serving time. The battle against ego isn't won once and forever. It's a daily practice that continues throughout life. Holiday structures his book around three inevitable phases we all cycle through: aspiration, working toward goals; success, achieving them; and failure, facing setbacks. Each phase presents unique ego challenges, from delusion during aspiration to entitlement during success and denial during failure. This cycle never ends, as success creates new aspirations and failure leads to new attempts. Managing ego is like sweeping the floor. The work is never permanently done. The consequences of neglect can be devastating, as illustrated by Dove Charney after being fired from American Apparel. When asked if he would make a comeback like Steve Jobs, he replied, "Ryan, Steve Jobs died." The path forward isn't to eliminate ego entirely, but to practice humility, embrace reality, and maintain purpose in all phases of life. In doing so, we unlock our full potential, freed from the invisible enemy that so often holds us back.